My Little Pony. My Little Pony. My Little Pony. I used to wonder what friendship could be until you all shared its wonders with me.
Magic with me.
Big adventure. Tons of fun.
Tons of fun.
A beautiful heart.
Full heart. Faithful and strong.
Sharing
kindness.
It's an easy feat. And magic makes it all complete.
Yay.
Don't you know you're all my very best friends?
Developed for television by Lauren Faust.
So, have you seen up to Feeling Pinky Keen, then?
No.
Okay, that was.
I have a few things to say about that episode.
That's very polarizing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once she was a, I guess you could say, a coked-up party slut, my opinion had changed after the first couple episodes, especially when they were trying to make that dragon leave.
Dragonshy, yes.
Yes. You know, a person who can actually get into a costume by slamming their face into it, I have respect for.
I think your opinions of all the ponies will go up as you watch more episodes.
Yeah, like Stairmaster.
Except for maybe Applejack. Applejack's been slipping a little bit lately.
So, I don't know, actually, the one I find most questionable is Rarity. I mean, she's had some really awesome episodes, but I'm still like, every time Rarity
really
is centric,
really getting
I get a little
Rarity
worried.
Lately.
What does she do?
She's the fashion designer, and she owns her own business. It's weird because when you think I read the article, Brian, that you had forwarded to us about Solidarity is an Illusion, with how My Little Pony Friendship is Magic is actually essentially based on a giant lie.
I think I read that,
It was. I really enjoyed it because it does kind of call into question a lot of things, like things that I'd actually seen before. But it does make mention of with Rarity being a unicorn pony. And she occupies a higher economic strata than everybody else. And it's true. She's a fashion designer, which is an artistic career, and she owns her own business where she creates clothing. And, of course, the clothing she creates, she does so because of the magic of her horn. And it's interesting to me because it's like, yeah, it's actually a really strong role for a girl to be seeing is the fact that, well, do you like clothes? Well, you could actually make clothes and fashion is actually an industry and you can have your own, you can actually own a business that's devoted to, you know, having and making clothes.
Ah, but you can only do really well at it if you have magical telekinetic horn.
There is that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what makes things a lot easier. But you're also, as you'll notice, so you're, as we'll see with Rarity and Ian and Corey, then we'll see with Rarity is that you will be constantly stressed out. You will undergo the most terrible, kind of, you know, Doris Day, kind of, oh, my life is over and terrible. Like you will be, she is so fucking tightly wound. And you don't pick up on that right away, but then you realize that, yeah, all of this, you know, there's just so much tension in her life because of her little sister and because of her cat that appears to hate her and that everybody, she always like somehow overpromises to deliver. And we never seem to learn that lesson, right? We never see, like in Applebuck season, we learn that Applejack learns, you know, well, if you need help, it's okay to ask for help, right? But that's with like picking apples, which any pony can do. Rarity doesn't have the option of being able to say, I need help creating these masterpieces because as...
Or gathering, like, a million friggin' gemstones for Lady Gaga.
Yeah, when she does, what's it like? She's like, I'll go to Spike and ask him to dig, because he can dig. But I'm not going to ask my friends to come help and do all this stuff. I'll do it myself. You know, I go ahead.
You mentioned all this stress and how this affects her. I mean, how does that apply to Twilight Sparkle? Because, I mean, you're talking about magic that they can do and how it impacts your stress levels and your life. But when Twilight takes down that Ursa Minor, that is some Yoda level Jedi shit there.
Oh well, what we've learned, I mean, because Twilight Sparkle's a protege of Princess Celestia, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So the thing is that it's pretty clear because it's pretty clear that Twilight is one of the most learned. She's probably a prodigy, in fact, in terms of her level of magic usage.
But I would actually go so far to call it, you know, chosen one level Jedi.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
This is Anakin and Obi-Wan style thing with Celestia and Twilight.
No, there's some serious. I mean, she has some badass powers. Well, she actually has use of powers, I think, beyond what most unicorns would.
Yeah, there's some really deep stuff going on in the background there. I mean, just look at the names. Like, Celestia's in charge of the day and Luna's in charge of night. Well, there's Twilight right in the middle there.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, and look at Twilight's cutie mark. Twilight's cutie mark is basically a representation of the elements of harmony when you see them in the first episode in the sort of representation.
Right.
So clearly, I think that Celestia was grooming Twilight Sparkle for this role, for the battle with Luna and all that sort of stuff, basically her whole life.
So is this not also a possibility then that she's
the bringer of Ragnarok? Yeah, yes. I have a feeling that's what's going to happen.
But that Celestia is not just grooming her to deal with the whole Nightmare Moon thing, but also to keep an eye on her should she grow beyond her means.
Another thing I want to point out is the, like, high coincidence level of there being the number of friends and the number of the elements of harmony in Ponyville specifically, which happens to be so very close to where the elements were.
I'm sure that Celestia has some you know, deep plans involved there. I mean, in Sonic Rainboom, when Rarity fell and everyone was falling, Celestia was right there. But she just stood by and let Rainbow Dash do the rescue.
I have seen a great piece of fan art that actually illustrates what went on with that. And of course it's fan art, so it's not canon, but it was probably the best explanation is that, you know, look upon me in despair, for I am Rarity, right? And
yes.
And so at that point, everyone looks up to see how beautiful her wings are and how wonderfully put together and how magical she looks. And Celestia looks up at her and what is she doing? She's standing in front of the sun to make herself beautiful. Celestia's like, I don't think so. Makes the sun brighter, hotter, burns the wings, and Rarity plummets.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, and think about this, is that she's normally a unicorn, right? And that's all she is a unicorn, but Celestia is a pegacorn.
Mm.
And when you give Rarity wings, she's a false pedicorn, and every pegacorn, and every
pedicorn.
That's going to be a whole new rule 35.
Pedicorn.
If it helps, I think the proper term is alicorn.
I've heard that a lot. Actually, alicorn is the horn itself. A unicorn's horn is its alicorn. Well, according to Wikipedia, the alicorn is the horn of a unicorn.
And
it's the winged unicorn in modern fiction and art.
Oh, there we go. I read the first line and that agreed with me, so I stopped.
you're using Wikipedia for its intended things, yes. Sadly.
All right, so I just remembered one other thing that we had planned for PonyCast, and that was the creation of our ulterior ponies. Say your pony has to have a name and a cutie mark.
I've got my name and my cutie mark because we picked that like 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And I just chose it out of wherever, but I love it.
But talk about it like you pretended you didn't tell us already.
Oh, I've got a great idea for my name.
Now do it naturally.
Oh, okay. Fine. I can't fucking do anything naturally anymore from virtue of me being on a podcast.
I had a great idea for.
So I had a great idea for my name. Because it's so goddamn irritating to anybody who ever hears me on a podcast is my keyboard, and so therefore my pony name is Buckling Spring, because I use a Model M keyboard primarily. And that, therefore my cutie mark would be a keyboard key, probably like an A or something like that, where you can actually see the spring. Actually, you wouldn't, because you'd be seeing it from the underneath. You'd have an actual literal diagram of what a buckling spring on a key looks like. It'd be very, very intense. Like, you know, very detailed.
You're the worst pony.
Thanks. I don't know, but the thing is, I don't know what my special ability based on that is, what my affinity is.
Well, okay, let's break it down here then. Are you a Pegasus type, a unicorn type, or a Lange type?
I'm going to have to say Buckling Spring would end up being an Earth pony.
Sounds like one to me.
I'd love to be a unicorn pony, but I have a feeling I'd end up being an Earth pony.
Well, so there's no shame in being an Earth pony. Someone needs to till the soil.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. I guess my special thing would be data entry. And there'd be a keyboard, this giant keyboard in front of me that I can smash my hooves on.
So you're going to work on a binary Model M.
No, it would actually have a literal pony alphabet on it. I'm thinking like whatever that is, 104-key keyboard, but just giant so that I have to smash my hooves on top of it. I'd imagine that I would build this myself for data input into God knows what, into some sort of magical sphere. Twilight Sparkle doesn't get along with me then, I guess, because she writes everything in books and does so with her horn or through the use of Spike.
Okay.
Well, you know, ponies can use regular size keyboards as long as they're off screen.
Well, I'm going to go next here, so I'm going to give my my name, my pony type, and my cutie mark, and I am going to go with Lizard Man, and Lizard Man.
Great job, Steve.
I'm sorry, but Lady Rape Master cannot be my little. All right, should I go?
Yes.
Wow. I've been thinking about this for all of 30 seconds. So I'll be a unicorn pony, and the cutie mark will be a double helix, and my name will be Nucleic Twist.
That is so awesome! Oh my god!
I think someone just won the cast.
My magical powers will be mutation-oriented.
Oh, wicked!
Very nice.
You're the one who created all the monsters in the Everfree Forest.
Well, I think I know how we have to fix that then. My pony is going to be a gray Pegasus with flaxen blonde hair, a double thunderbolt for my cutie mark.
Yes.
My special powers will be organization, and my name is the Baron von Trotz.
Aaron, save us.
I don't know how much I can do. I've been thinking about it for as long as Brian was. I don't think mine's nearly as good, but we'll try anyway. I think my defining trait would probably be crippling inability to speak clearly for more than 2 sentences at a time.
We already have Fluttershy.
So I was thinking I would be socially awkward mane.
That, you know what? From birth, when you're given that name, you're kind of set up for a life of a downfall, I think. So what's your cutie mark? No, wait, don't tell me. You're blank flank still, aren't you?
Delicious blank flank.
Corey's last.
All right, I'm thinking I would be a white unicorn named Goose Feather. Cutie mark is a target, and I can shoot arrows with my mind.
Yeah, on a second thought, I'm Truck Spank.
Please.
Oh, I forgot to say, I would probably be a Pegasus pony, because Pegasuses are cool.
And Rainbow Dash would be my best friend.
And I'd marry Twilight Sparkle. God damn it. I'm shocked by that I've been looking at the Twilight Sparkle cutie mark all this time and did not pick up on the fact that they were the elements of harmony.
I thought it was just like generic magic sparkles myself, but that makes sense.
I wonder if you have control over that, like when your cutie mark comes in. If it's meant to suit your natural color of your skin, or if it is just kind of like whenever it comes in, it is what it is.
Hmm.
Well, we have nothing to say
just,
about
just
that.
Just random epic destiny type thing?
Well, I was just thinking about the, what was the first episode with the Cutie Mark Crusaders?
Are we talking about the Apple Bloom episode or the first one where they were all together for most of the episode?
There was that classmate of theirs that actually got a cutie mark. Frost Candy Canes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta wonder, what talent does that represent? You like candy canes. But
that's
anyway.
Her defining trait, she likes candy canes.
You can't get a job with that.
Pinkie Pie has three balloons, and what does she do? She works in a bakery.
And she throws parties.
Right.
So she's a party planner, but that's about, you know, I mean, that's the thing that she does. So if your thing is, because Twist is the one who had the cross candy canes, because it was two prints of hers. There was Diamond Tiara and Silver Spoon. They got their cutie marks early. Fuck off. They got their cutie marks early or around whenever they got them. And I'm like, wow. You got your cutie marks. One is a diamond tiara, so you think you're a princess, and one is Silver Spoon, which means you're spoiled rotten. And so you're obviously going to have some sort of weird ball that I can't, but it's like a debutante's coming out ball, because that's what you're good at, is making other people feel bad about themselves.
Cutie Quincea, I think it was. It's actually a pun on a
Cutesanera or something like that?
Cutesanera, that's it. That's it. There's a, like a Spanish tradition. It's the quinceanera for the 15th birthday of a young girl. That's her coming of age thing.
Oh, neat.
And so they did a pun on that.
So it's like the circumcision, but with less cutting.
Yeah.
It's a bat mitzvah, but with really good dancing.
I think I figured out what my cutie mark would be, guys.
Oh, good.
I think it would be a black box representing a darkened room. with a single glowing computer monitor inside.
Wherein you cut yourself?
Representing the endless nights I stay up on the internet.
Your cutie mark's just a bunch of scars.
Because it keeps coming back and you're so ashamed of it, you keep cutting it out. It's terrible.
Also, I'd like to disagree, Beach. I don't think that Pinkie Pie actually has a job. So much as she just fell down at a Walmart and managed to sue them for enough money to live off of for the rest of her life.
Yeah, because she's Pinkie Pie, but she works for Mr. and Mrs. Cake, whose names we never actually hear. So I'm assuming one is birthday cake and one is uranium cake. The thing is it's Mr. and Mrs. Cake, right? And I'm like, so God help me, I hope they both weren't named something cake before they got married.
Hello, other ponies.
Well, Pinkie did mention that she has a granny pie.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, geez. What's her name?
Granny Pie. I don't know.
She doesn't say whether that's her name.
Granny
but
Smith. Granny Smith is.
Who would
her
be
name.
Granny Smith? Yes.
Yeah.
I thought Granny Smith though. Granny Smith is Applejack's grandmother.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Granny Smith.
But in Pinkie's Fear song, she's like, "Well, when I was little, Granny Pie said."
Ah.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That could have just been a nickname too. I mean.
Possibly, but she's also Pinkie Pie, so it's kind of a big coincidence there.
The thing she says is truth. It's all, I'd be inclined to believe her. I mean, she said she needed a trombone and a banjo, and I'd be like, you know what? She was right. She needed a trombone and a banjo, so.
You haven't seen the very most recent episode then, have you? Because she was wrong.
Yes. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Oh.
That was oh, you have
no,
seen
she
that.
Was right, but no one believed her.
Yeah.
She was wrong in her presentation then.
I spent 20 minutes talking about social and political constructs, so my mind's kind of in that point of view, and it's weird to me because the economic system that Ponyville and then I guess all of Equestria must follow. Because it seems to be all of Equestria seems to follow this, because there isn't money anywhere. Is that
actually there is? There are coins.
Is there?
Yeah,
there
is coins. Yeah, when there were some ponies that bought some apples from Applejack and paid in coins.
Oh, I didn't even see that happen.
Yeah,
that was probably the one where Apple was trying to get her cutie mark.
Yes, that was it, and she mercilessly.
You almost said period, didn't you?
No. I was putting stuff on my lips.
It's a metaphor.
She
a
was
metaphor.
I don't know. I haven't seen too many girls dancing around going, God, I hope I start bleeding from my crotch soon. I think it's more of a boob thing. But even then, you know.
God, girls get that way about their periods sometimes, too.
I want it's everyone true. To watch because I'm bleeding from my crotch.
Sikora taught her that rhyme.
They do things differently in her native land.
Wherever that is.
Yes, yes.
We don't. Equestria isn't the name of the planet, right?
No, it isn't. Yeah. It's just
the name of this one area.
How big is the planet they live on? Like, okay, what would the gravity need to be in order for the Pegasus to fly? Like, their wingspan is nothing.
No, I don't know. I've seen some really good explanations involving unicorn and Pegasus magic in, as far as explaining that goes.
Well, true, because Pegasus is...
Pegasi?
I don't want to say that, but a Pegasus can... they can, when they're up in Cloudsdale...
They can walk on clouds.
Yeah, with never having to spread their wings. And so it's kind of like, well, they must have some sort of innate ability where they can actually walk on clouds.
Also, like there are plenty of instances you can see Rainbow Dash just sort of hovering without flapping. Even if just briefly.
And you can also see Pinkie Pie hover without wings or flapping.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more the Warner Brothers effect.
I think it might be more
that
like...
Pinkie Pie being aware that she is in a cartoon, in my interpretation.
I think a case can be made here that that those ponies are from Krypton. Yeah, they're able to... They've got telekinetic powers, because a lot of Superman's powers can be explained through telekinesis.
Right.
They can fly. They worship the sun, the yellow sun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where they get their powers from. Yeah.
So there's a... The idea here is that the wings are basically just a vestige.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a placebo wing.
Mm. And the Earth ponies just aren't trying hard enough.
I guess.
They keep the Earth ponies ignorant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, in this case, the wings would sort of be like the unicorn horn. They're more for a means of channeling that particular magic than anything else.
And the Earth ponies they need a cover.
Okay, thing about that same article that I mentioned, though, is that there is made mention of the fact that in Appleduck season, Applejack is doing all the work herself because she's too proud to ask people for help. And Twilight Sparkle keeps offering, like, I can give you a hand. She's like, no, it's okay. I'm stubborn as a mule, no offense. And she, I know she didn't say that, Twilight Sparkle did, but anyway, by the end she's like, yeah, please just help me. It would be wonderful if you could help me. So the whole thing, Applejack has to kick these trees and knock the apples down to the ground, and then she has to, all the apples hopefully fall into her baskets, and then she goes and she takes them, and with those that don't, I don't know what she does. Maybe she picks them up and puts them in the things herself. Doesn't matter. Twilight Sparkle uses her horn to grab hundreds of apples at once and carry them great distances telekinetically and depositing them somewhere else. Why wouldn't a unicorn pony decide to open their own orchard and then drive Applejack out of business?
There's two explanations for this. The official one that Lauren Faust has actually said on, I believe, her DeviantArt page, is that Earth ponies actually do have magical abilities. They're just more understated. Earth ponies bless the land. So they make the land fertile. They make things grow. And a unicorn pony wouldn't be able to do that. So, a unicorn pony like Twilight Sparkle is able to harvest very effectively, but wouldn't necessarily get a very good crop in the first place. And the other thing is, Twilight Sparkle's telekinesis is light years beyond. I mean, in Boastbusters, when she took on that Ursa Minor, she was hoisting around, whole water towers full
of
water, stuff like that.
A barn full of cows.
A whole barn full of cows. And she carried that, and she carried the Ursa Minor. I mean, an Ursa Minor is made of space, so maybe it's not very heavy, but,
Well, that also makes it very, very incorporeal. I mean, very difficult to hold.
Which is it keeps in line with what her power tends to be as well, is that she's very interested in the stars and the cosmos and all that kind of stuff.
Nice, yes. Yes.
So what you're saying is that Earth ponies are there to bless the land and make things grow.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know what makes things grow is fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
What makes a good fertilizer is manure. So
yes.
By your logic and by Lord Faust's logic, Earth ponies are there to shit.
And there was actually a moment when Applejack on screen said, oh, horse apples.
That's
true. So they slipped that in there. So we do know they...
Mm-hmm. Somebody had made mention that Rarity has telekinetic powers as well. I mean, we've seen that because she can manipulate scissors and sewing machine
that
and fabric.
That seems to be pretty standard issue for unicorns.
Multiple dresses around the shop all at once.
Right. So that's a thing, because there is a point by which she also then deflects high-speed projectiles that are coming at her in one, yes. one episode or another that I don't can't remember. But then that means
a sleepover.
Right. Okay, but that's the thing, is that therefore any unicorn out there possesses these telekinetic powers, it seems, that they have telekinesis. They don't seem to all have a teleport power. Twilight Sparkle seems to have that ability because she's more trained in the art of magic.
And she can grow mustaches at will.
It's true. So it just seems it's weird to me because it's like, well, then if any, but because you do say that, yeah, unicorn or earth ponies bless the land. So it would almost be a good idea, in fact, for an earth pony to go into business or at least to recruit unicorns to work for them to do a quick harvest. Mm-hmm. And yet they never do. And the way I see that is because everyone finds out what they're good at, right? And then that's what they do for the rest of their lives is they – because when they get to a point and it's like, oh, I've acquired my cutie mark and my cutie mark is being an asshole, so that's what I'm going to be for the rest of my life.
My name is Trixie.
Yeah, there's this is big goat say on the side of the flank, you know. But that's the thing is it's like your cutie mark becomes a representation of what you'll do for the rest of your life. And your name apparently helps that along as well. So it wouldn't stand to reason that a unicorn could just all of a sudden decide that, yeah, I want to go into business harvesting apples, unless they somehow found when they were very young that they were very good at harvesting apples and they really liked doing it. And then a cutie mark appeared and it's like, oh, look at that. My cutie mark is an apple surrounded by a magical field. So that would be the only way you'd actually see that happen, I think, is you'd have to discover that. Because really, I mean, it's not as if Twilight Sparkle will decide that, hey, I'm going to go do that today. You know, she has her things that she does. She's not about to say, I'm going to go do something different.
So you're
and then that just makes you wonder how all the business with cutie marks and names and whatever came into being in the first place.
Well, cutie mark crusaders are going to be kind of our window into seeing how that actually works, I think. Because I don't think that's – maybe no other My Little Pony series has ever covered that before. And maybe this will be one that's done it. I don't know. I don't care either. I'm only interested in this series.
My suspicion is that the cutie marks are not necessarily a constraint on a pony's, you know, life choices, but more a reflection of it. We've seen in Diamond Dogs, Rarity was going around and mining gems. That was what she was up to, and I'm sure that was not, you know, that's not her. That's not part of fashion design. Yeah, but. Yeah. But you know, she needed to go mine gems. She went and mined gems.
So you're not born with a cutie mark in mind. It's learned. Yeah.
So you're arguing predestination.
But that means you can't change that at any point after you've gotten it.
Are you sure? Are you sure we just haven't seen these I guess cutie camps where you know parents who have ponies that have undesirable cutie marks send their ponies off to be reeducated.
It is weird because Rarity's mark is three jewels, and that because it's kind of like, but she's a fashion designer. Her name is Rarity. She makes beautiful clothing, and very fashionable clothing, which in itself those could be said to be rarities, right? Because you usually make a one-off for a fashion, whatever. Mm-hmm. She usually
incorporates gems into her designs too.
But not all of them, right? Like all the ones she made for her friends never had really any gems. Maybe I think Rainbow Dash's did, but you know, Pinkie Pie's was almost completely made out of cake. So the fact is that yeah, you're right. You can choose the job, and your cutie mark doesn't necessarily show up. Whatever, but it does show that hey, she has an ability to walk around and find gems lying under the ground.
Okay, mm-hmm. then so given that then, and how tightly she is wound up, then would it not be possible that Rarity might have a different cutie mark? You know, maybe even like a dildo that she has to paint over every morning with makeup.
Okay, I was afraid you were going to say that given how tightly wound up she is and she has three diamonds printed on her flank, that by Rarity it means that she can shit diamonds.
No, it just refers to her teats. She has three diamond-hard teats.
I see.
Oh, man, I had completely mundane ideas there, and you guys just went off on weird tangents. I was thinking, like, maybe she's all wound up because she's actually in a career that isn't reflected by her cutie mark. She was actually meant to be a miner. And her family is like a family of miners, and she like rebelled against that, and she's like, no, I'm not going to be a miner. I'm going to be a fashion model.
Well, no, I mean,
she's Zoolander. She's basically Zoolander.
But I'd say it's the other way around, actually, Brian. Like maybe it's her family that's putting pressure on her to be such a designer and an update. Like that seems like a front. Maybe she really just wants to be a miner and get down and dirty.
That's interesting. See, this is actually we have shown off or kind of thrown a light on something that would be really interesting is because there's two things that haven't happened yet. Like when you haven't seen her yet, but when Sapphire Stars or Sapphire Stones or whatever shows up, she's a diva, right? She comes into Rarity's shop and is like, I love that suit and I want to wear one on stage. I want to wear five of them on stage, kind of deal. This is all the Diamond Dogs episode. When she comes into that shop and everything, and you get a shot of her kind of three-quarter from the rear, she has no cutie mark. But she's clearly a diva, extremely popular, extremely well-known, but she has no cutie mark. She hasn't actually discovered – and I'm kind of like animation error, right? But I'm like, but it's canon at this point because it made it to air. If she doesn't have her cutie mark, it means she hasn't discovered what she's truly good at, and yet here she is, a fully grown pony.
Or did she have it removed?
Well, that's the other thing. It's like,
or does
oh my
she
God.
Just have some sort of horrible mutation where she is not actually a full-grown pony?
Or she shaves it.
Yes, there we go.
Well,
but seriously, the idea is that what happens if you're a pony that never discovers what your calling is, or vice, or the on the other side, what happens if your cutie mark comes in and then you realize you're like, I don't want to be that. I want to rebel against it and be something else because I don't want to be told what to do. I'd love to see episodes that explore those ideas, too.
Well, I believe in the first instance, you'd be a pony called grad student.
I was going to ask, okay, if from birth you kept a pony in a room with no interaction with other ponies.
So, ponies cave.
Not even the cave, like okay. the experiments into language and behavioral.
So the ponies from Brazil.
The ponies from Brazil, yes.
So,
or the ponies from Nazi experiments.
The ponies from Brazil, yes.
Yeah. Oh, is that? Oh, I haven't actually seen Brazil, so.
Oh, the boys from Brazil. It's different from Brazil.
Oh, yeah, it's the clones of Hitler and stuff, yeah.
That's
right, okay.
Yeah.
Put a pony in a BF horse skinner box.
Does it keep hitting the button?
Yes. Okay. Seriously. Well, I want to hear what the thing is. If you don't expose it to anything, does it eventually get its own cutie mark regardless?
Yes. Does it develop a cutie mark? Is that cutie mark representative of anything that it actually exists in the world outside of the room?
Actually, I'm going to take this a different direction entirely, and I think at that point there will be no cutie mark until the box is opened.
I'm actually inclined to believe that there is. It isn't predestination, right? There is a lot of, there should be free will in this case. Even the name, when you're given a name, like it's not as if when you're given a name in that universe, right? That really, it can be leading. Like Rarity is a name that is not leading at all. It could go in any sort of direction. And Twilight Sparkle could be like, well, who knows what the fuck that means, right?
But Fluttershy.
Granny Smith.
Yeah, Fluttershy. Rainbow Dash.
Granny
yeah.
Smith basically means you'll be the only one who's going to make it to old age.
Yeah, imagine when she was just a little foal and her name was Granny Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the interesting case is the cake couple, Mr. and Mrs. Cake, because, you know, that's the only married couple I can think of that we've seen. And so were they named Cake to begin with? Is that, you know,
does that mean that you can change your pony name when you get older?
Yeah. Yeah. Did they change
their
names
when
they married?
Yeah. When you marry, you'd have to change your name. And so what happens then when you marry and you decide to, you know, you're going to go into business with your mate.
Otherwise it would be some sort of pony cyst.
Yes, exactly.
We don't know. They might've met doing similar activities, maybe.
Yeah, true. I mean, and the thing is it doesn't mean that you're related, because, I mean, look at how many people are related in the Applejack's family that don't have names that match at all. And so I think that's the idea there, is because Applejack and Apple Bloom are related, and Big Macintosh is there. Well, he is an Apple-related name, but Apple is not in his name. It's not as if they have family names like we have family names. So if you have Mr. and Mrs. Cake, it could be that birthday cake and Hanukkah cake. I don't know.
Urinal. God.
Yes, urinal cake. Fuck, that would have been way better. Birthday cake and urinal cake got together to open up some sort of really fucked up bakery.
The washrooms are great.
Yeah, and so...
smell very nice.
I like cake, how about it?
About it?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. There's no description. I mean, the thing is that Rarity wants to get, like, in the opening episode, she talks about how she wants to get married to some 10 out of 10 hot prince, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, that was Celestia's nephew, she called him, which raises some interesting questions right there.
Yeah.
Whoever he actually is.
He wasn't a Pegasus unicorn. He was just a unicorn. But his alicorn was much longer and pointier than the other unicorn ponies. So
but as far as we know, Celestia only has a sister. So yeah. It must mean it's her sister's son.
Actually, right. Lauren said that it was from a previous generation branch or something like that, which just raises further questions.
How cyclical is this?
She's lived for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And she is their sun goddess. And like, so this is from the previous line?
I personally, until something else comes along to change canon, I like to believe that Rarity just was like making the whole thing up. She's got this weird fantasy, you know. It's
oh yeah.
Yeah, or he's like a stand-in for all the pretty boys in Canterlot. Exactly.
Yeah,
but he would be the platonic ideal of that which you'd want to marry. You want to marry the perfect, handsome, debonair, manly 10 out of 10.
Inch.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And she's going to end up with Big Mac.
I choose to believe that Luna was sent away because she had an underage pregnancy.
Ooh.
Oh.
And
was just a cover.
They sealed her in the moon, and she was back to see her son. Oh yeah, no, this makes a lot of sense all of a sudden.
Well, they did say Luna would be back at some point.
That's right. So she sealed her. She's like, you got pregnant, gave birth, and it's like, well, I'm going to seal you away for 1,000 years.
Moreover, that would mean, you know, with just the two gods, that would mean that that she would have had to get pregnant with one of her creations.
Yeah, but we know that from Greek mythology. That happens all the time.
Yes,
so.
But it shouldn't. It's not good.
Well, that's why all the various offspring unicorns are freak mutants that either are missing their wings or missing their horn or both.
Hmm. That's why Generation 3.5 looks so goddamn retarded.
Snips and snails.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who are Bob and Doug McKenzie, Corey has figured out.
That must be what they're going for with those.
Okay.
Unless by previous generations they mean, like, the previous generations of the My Little Pony franchise, which constitute their own eras in this world.
That's exactly what I mean, which means at some point they had to have been wiped out. And by whom?
I'm actually really impressed by the fact that only having 22 episodes, 22 half-hour episodes to draw from, no other canonical examples of anything else... We're able to analyze this world and say, you know, holy shit, what are the implications for everything else?
And there's tons
if there's any other show out there, I don't really care about doing that. But this is like one of the things where it's like, this is actually kind of fun. Cause the environment and the society and the politics and the economy and everything are so very, very different, but still very, very familiar.
Just to point out, there's tons of stuff we haven't even touched on yet. Like, what is the nature of the Everfree Forest? And
it's where all the bad things are.
Well, yeah, but I mean, interestingly, the ruins of Celestia and Luna's old center of power are right in the middle of the Everfree Forest. Like, what's with that? You know, is the reason the Everfree Forest is running wild and out of pony control some sort of side effect of the war between Luna and Celestia?
Also, somebody pointed out. The sky above Equestria matches the constellations of Earth.
Mm, yes.
Okay, yeah, so I was thinking, from the clips I've seen of the previous generations of My Little Pony, they're set on what appears to be Earth as well. But they have, like, houses and blenders and things, right?
Well, shit, think of this, right? Why are there pencils? Right?
Yeah, there's lots of things that are meant for human hands.
Why are there hammers? Yeah. In Over a Barrel, they have a train.
Yes.
The train has an engine, a steam engine. That steam engine is pulled by a team of horses.
The steam engine's sole purpose is to blow the whistle.
Yeah, it does
nothing
else.
They pull a rope that blows the whistle. That's all it does.
That's brilliant.
And the braking.
Oh, yeah.
the only thing, the other thing that's in the engines. There has to be braking. So then, therefore, I mean, they probably thought, what's with this black lumps of whatever? Let's kick that shit out of there and hook up a harness and let's drag this thing out. And it's just like, but you could get so much further if you just took the engine off and just dragged the cars.
We would never whistle then.
Yeah, exactly.
They're working with whatever they're left with, basically.
Yeah, and you're only going as fast as the four ponies that are pulling you, so why don't you just run yourself?
Oh my God, that's...
Because that's tiring.
That's like the most retarded rickshaw ever.
They must have built that train, because we know that the ponies have been in control and running the place for 1,000 years. That clearly wasn't a 1,000-year-old train. It would have fallen apart by now. So they're aping old technology, maybe.
That's a good point, actually. And they're leaving out anything that seems, because in 1,000 years, you don't just fully stagnate. They're probably saying, well, we know this thing exists, but we don't. Maybe actually they knew, maybe back in the early days, they knew how to run the train. But as you run out of coal and nobody goes looking for coal, because why the hell would you?
Mm.
You just get to a point where it's like, well, why don't we just drag the thing out of here? And then it becomes, that's the way we've done it for the last 200 years. Is that you look up?
Yeah, actually, it seems to be that way, that they've lost a lot of knowledge, such as, like, bridal gossip. There's the Book of Antidotes, but it's completely ignored.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. But Sakura knows about all this stuff still. She's still in connection with, for the thing is that Earth ponies are connected.
Aaron, go ahead.
There are mentions of Earth place names occasionally too. Like I recall someone mentioning hot French couture at one point.
Yes,
yes,
and Dutch apple.
And I'm under no illusions that there might be a place called France in this world, but I am thinking maybe the word might have gotten passed down through generations and generations, and by this time.
It's
French
probably called
means
Prance now.
It's associated with these concepts, but not necessarily the place.
I like Prance. I like Prance as a name.
How do people die in this world?
Probably they get shot. I don't know. What do you mean, how can they die?
Well, you eventually have to, because you get old.
We know Granny
get old and renew.
Is old and decrepit. She's got arthritis and stuff like that.
Yeah, but there doesn't seem to be any peril. There doesn't seem
to be that many old ponies either.
No, nor for that matter, many young ponies. It is a town, but it is not an overly populated town.
But
it is the backwater nowhere town. There's not too many ponies that live there in general.
Yeah, well, and we fair, saw like a whole.
One at a time.
If you're to walk through any town, you're not going to see a bunch of children running around, right? You're going to see a bunch of adults walking around any town. You're going to see more adults
in school.
Yeah, kids are in school, kids are at home.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Canterlot?
You don't see much of Canterlot.
I think Canterlot is mostly just court-centric, so you don't necessarily see a lot of kids running around at court.
It's like the administrative center of Versailles. It's like Versailles. Yeah.
You see students running around a lot there.
I just seem to get a real sort of, I guess you could say, Logan's Run sort of vibe out of Equestria.
Well, carousel! Horse-drawn carousel!
Yeah, but I was going to point out that they're kind of like the Japanese and that you can tell the young and the sort of 20 to 80, and then when they hit 80, it's Granny Smith.
Well, the mayor of Ponyville is sort of middle-agedy there. She's a little more, not elderly, but mature.
Yeah, she's milfy. Actually 80.
Yeah.
She's milfy.
Yeah.
She is a hot librarian.
She's in her pony prime.
Merit like to
they need to introduce a new pony called Milfy.
Yeah. Mare I'd like to fit to foal.
Well, isn't there overprotective parent pony somewhere?
what's her cutie mark?
I don't know. Hang on a
second. I believe it's a set of stairs and a doorknob. No, I'm sorry. That's domestic abuse pony.
Yeah.
I think it would be like one of those child crossing guard symbols. So it'd be like the silhouette of a small pony wearing a reflective vest.
Mm.
Domestic abuse pony's cutie mark is a dark ring, but for some reason it's around her eye instead of on the flank.
No, it's a doorknob.
Yeah.
It's like five
or a flight of stairs.
No, it's just like five doorknobs.
Yeah. A sack full of them? What?
No.
That'd be a sack full of oranges or soap in a sock or something.
A phone book with an impact mark on the front of it. Fuck, this is depressing.
First time they go into the Everfree Forest, are they not afraid of ghosts? Do they not mention ghosts?
Oh yeah, Pinkie Pie's song mentions Giggle at the Ghostie.
Yes, so...
Or maybe it was Goatsy, I don't know. Those trees did look suggestive.
That does suggest that they have some concept of what happens after they die. Unless the ghosts are of other things.
Demons?
Maybe the only things you get to have ghosts are things that die in the Everfree Forest.
I mean, shit, like, they have magic, so clearly demons must be involved.
Maybe that's where you have to go to die.
Yeah, like an elephant graveyard.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise you are actually kept alive through the magic by living in Ponyville, Equestria, or any of the other settlements.
Maybe you get to live as long as you want, and then you choose to die.
I don't know. I think that ponies probably, the impression I get is that ponies have a sort of a normal humanish lifespan.
Maybe they're all Time Lords and they regenerate into a younger form.
Only Doctor Who's.
Yeah. But
we did see in Pegasus form in Sonic Rainboom.
But though we also have seen, I think in, I don't know if this was fan created or not, but I swear there was a screenshot where there was a white pony with a blue mane that also had an hourglass on its flank.
Yeah, that's Colgate.
Yeah, everyone's been calling her Romana though.
They also call her Colgate.
Or I actually seen Aqua.
Her mane looks like the Colgate with the stripes.
Oh, because people have been calling her Aqua Fresh.
Okay, so here's another question. Spike is a baby dragon that delivers the mail. There's also the older dragon in Dragonshy. At what point do they become completely useless and start hoarding treasure?
Well, it could be a matter of upbringing. I mean, Celestia captured this baby dragon and figured we'll imprint it on ponies. And I mean, Spike is head over heels for Rarity, which is just sick and wrong.
It is.
I mean, he's a baby for crying out loud. That's gross. But anyway, I'm sure that when they hatched Spike's egg, they had ponies around and no dragons because they, you know, killed the mother or something. And so he imprinted on ponies. So Spike is probably atypical.
He's well, to some degree, aren't most animals in Equestria dependent on the ponies?
I suppose, but I would think if any animal in Equestria is not going to be dependent on ponies, it's dragons.
Yeah, because actually the dragon's tower was like right near, like right beside the Everfree Forest. Because any animal that lives in the Everfree Forest is not under direct any sort of pony control whatsoever.
Well, the impression I get is that dragons are an outside context problem. They're from like, you know, some faraway place. Because when that dragon came and moved into that mountain. And it started belching smoke and stuff. They were like, oh, its smoke is going to cover all of Equestria. Mm-hmm. We have to make it move. And then they made it move, and now it's gone. So it's obviously someplace far away from Equestria.
Okay.
So where did it come from? Where did it go? And that's dragons are mysterious and vast.
You know what I think is weird about that, too? It's the fact that they all showed up. The six main character ponies all show up to try to deal with this problem, right? Did they bring Spike?
No, they didn't.
They almost in a way to say that they didn't want him interacting with anybody that was of his race.
Yeah.
That they're trying
to keep... what the excuse was.
Why?
Well, it would seem to me that, you know, you'd like, well, there's a giant dragon up there. Like, well, why don't we bring the baby dragon up? Because the giant dragon might even listen to the baby dragon.
They actually completely ignored the issue.
Yeah.
It's like Spike wasn't even... It was, now that you mention it, it's kind of eerie the way they didn't even mention him. Like, it was an unspoken rule that dragons are here. Quick, hide the young dragons.
They did mention Spike in one context. They said to Fluttershy, you know, why are you scared of dragons? Spike's a dragon.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, he's a little baby dragon, you know, but... So he was actually mentioned in the episode, but I think that was it. I think that was the only mention. The other interesting thing is I would have thought that that would be something Celestia herself would deal with. I mean,
that is a pretty major problem.
Unless, again, it's part of the tests.
I hadn't considered that, actually. I was thinking more along the lines of if Celestia and dragons are sort of on par with each other, it wouldn't do to have them confronting each other, because then you'd have colossal fight and stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, sending lesser ponies would not set the dragon off, as it were. But yeah, I like the test thing, because that fits a lot with Celestia's pattern.
There was a lot of emphasis on Fluttershy being the solution throughout mm-hmm. that whole thing, regardless of what Fluttershy wanted, and also a lot of emotional manipulation on the part of Fluttershy.
Yes.
Which was mildly disgusting. Like, and also, couldn't Twilight have just used her horn to levitate Fluttershy up the mountain? Like, seriously. It would have been so much easier than having Applejack take her.
Well, I don't know how much endurance she's got. We've seen her able to lift really heavy things, but can she lift them for long periods of time?
But she doesn't need to. All she has to do is basically be like, okay, there's Fluttershy right there. We're halfway up the mountain. And put her at the top of the mountain.
I do have to mention that I do love the fact that all of the cartoon flying machines make the same noise. Swoop, tick-de-bong, tick-de-bong. Helicopters don't sound like that at all. If your flying machine makes a bonk sound, it's wrong.